Let's pray. Lord, we do see the evidence all over our life of your presence. I invite you this morning to show your presence to us as we worship you. Let all honor and glory be given to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I have entitled this lecture, God's Plans and Promises Necessary to Grow a Godly Life. This morning through our study, we will all partake in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ by becoming familiar with his plans and precious promises for our lives. Peter has given us seven necessary tools to use for life and godliness during our sanctification process. So get ready, pack your bags. We're going on a journey to identify what we need for a transformed life. What would you say to your family if you knew you were facing death? I want my life to be remembered by the work that Jesus did in my life, and how that transformation in my life would give my loved ones a thirst for knowing God. I have written a favorite line from a song in the front of my Bible that says, "Let the king of my life be the echo of my days." And Peter is our example as he writes this second letter. Picture him as he ponders his own death coming soon. Peter wants to leave them with wisdom as they draw close to God during chaotic times in an unsettled world. He begins by reminding them that they are chosen people of God. So let's open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. So Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. And note the reference to the Trinity here, one of the few in the New Testament that includes God and Jesus Christ and the Spirit. Verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. Peter saw the storm clouds gathering. He is about to caution the Christians concerning internal problems within the body of Christ. Peter wishes his audience grace and peace to be theirs in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. You know what I'm talking about. Only through Jesus, that irritating neighbor whose dog barks incessantly next to your back door. The sister-in-law who loves to brag about her children, grace and peace. The brother that knows you are a Christian, yet he continues to swear in front of you, grace and peace. That neighbor who cuts you off, or the driver who cuts you off on the road, grace and peace. Maybe your mother-in-law who is always criticizing your cooking, grace and peace. We can't do it without Jesus. We cannot have grace and peace in any other way. You know how that is. How do we experience this grace and peace? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The word epigenosis is not merely book intelligence. Its meaning goes much deeper. It refers to heart knowledge, an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As our heart knowledge through Jesus increases, our grace and peace increases. As we know Jesus more intimately, we take on the mind of Christ. We gradually transition from backseat drivers into the driver's seat up front, feeling God's directing the wheel in our hands. We begin to experience God's divine power in our lives, not from our own efforts, but entirely through his hand on the wheel in our life. His divine power that gives us everything we need for direction. So we are set in motion on a road trip. to take on our relationship with others. We can become more fruitful. God can use us to bring others to the table of feasting. God will provide everything we need for a godly life. Anticipate the fruitfulness of sharing his riches at the table and see that he provides the feast. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Peter now pulls out his roadmap for the things of God necessary to grow and secure our sanctification. Verses 3 and 4 give us the keys that unlock our power to build faith. This power to grow comes from God alone. We can't do it. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. From the moment we first believe, God equips believers with that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This means that he guides us safely through the road hazards that may cause a flat tire or a cracked windshield. Verse 4, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. These verses teach us that he has given us two elements, his provision, his divine power. Our faith is based on connecting with God, experiencing the daily reality of God's presence in our lives. In Psalm 5:3, David prayed, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." The result of knowing his presence in your life is his grace and peace. Pray often. Number 2, his very great and precious promises. Verse 4. Being a woman of Christ, we inherit his very great and precious promises. We are his daughters. Here are a few of God's promises to us. Snacks for the road trip to keep us from being hungry until we reach our destination. Number 1, forgiveness of all our sins, past, present, and future. Number 2, provision of our needs, both physical and spiritual. Number 3, hope for eternal life. Number 4, comfort through suffering and hardship. Number 5, spiritual guidance through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And 6, adoption as his children into his heavenly family. We cry, "Abba, Father." The things of this world are temporary, but God is with us into eternity. Peter reminds us that we are partakers of his divine nature. We are daughters of the King. We get to partake in his divine nature. In order to escape the evil desires of the world, verse 5, we need to make an intentional effort to strengthen our faith. Peter calls it applying all diligence. We have the roadmap in our hands, but we must apply it to our journey. This is called our sanctification process. We must now abandon ourselves to God. When I plan a road trip, I take reasonable precautions to avoid hazards along the way. This includes checking the tires that they are properly inflated, making sure that the oil changed if it needs it, cleaning the grime off my windows so I can see clearly, and making sure the fuel tank is full, and adjusting the mirrors for my vision, and also bringing the snacks. As Peter urges his audience, we too must make all effort to avoid the pitfalls of the road by showing intent to build up our safety net. Peter now builds upon the bedrock of faith with 7 spiritual dynamics that will secure the journey. Notice the bookends are faith and love. So the first one is faith, and that is the bedrock that we're building upon. He adds goodness to faith. or virtuous living, moral excellence, spiritual courage. To do the right thing and to stand alone if necessary. I think of Daniel as an example of moral courage. Daniel and thousands of his countrymen were captured and taken to Babylon from Judah. While living under pagan rulers, Daniel maintained his faithful practices of worshiping God, despite the law of the land. He is a picture of man's triumph of faith while living in a sinful world. His story displays the sovereignty of God, both in Daniel's life and also in ours, as we navigate the road of evil and spiritual darkness. Would people sense there is something different about you in a random group of people? Would you stand out as different because of how God has set you apart for his good purposes? Peter adds knowledge to his list. This is not academic knowledge that you go to school for. This word is translated epignosis, referring to personal knowledge, knowing God on a deep spiritual level, having a personal daily relationship with God, with prayer, reading his word, and studying it daily. Know the word of God. Engrave it on your hearts. Be ready to give an answer for the reason for your faith. You have to know God to be able to share him with others. Pray every day that God would set your feet in the path of someone who needs to know God, his miraculous ways of healing and restoring faith. So the third point that Peter builds on is self-control. A sense of knowing what is right or wrong and choosing what is right. Paul warns us to put no confidence in the flesh, but to set aside worldly things and focus on the things of God. Ask yourself, am I living my life transparently before others? And do I model excellence for Jesus? Do I always do the right thing? Do I say no to temptation? Satan knows where you are weak and vulnerable. Be on guard for spiritual attacks. The fourth point is perseverance, and I always think of Paul when it comes to perseverance. Running the race well. Long road trips require patience with myself and other drivers. We have a destination marked on our roadmap. We want to arrive intact and in one piece. Other drivers are often a distraction, as you know. Focus on the finish line, as Paul was. He took his three missions seriously that God had given him to accomplish. Philippians 3:12, he ran the race well. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Make this your purpose and do it with excellence as unto the Lord. The fifth point is godliness, a spiritual likeness of my Heavenly Father. The light that shines out from you will be noticed by others. Recently, I was at Costco to pick up some flowers for a friend of mine who had been gracious enough to supply some of my needs. Everyone commented on how gorgeous the flowers were. One elderly lady remarked at how my face radiated joy. God prompted me to pause and engage in conversation with her. God led her to share with me how she and her husband found Christian faith as former Muslims in Iran. We stood in the middle of that busy Costco river as we prayed for one another. That encounter was from God and gave us mutual joy from the Lord. Two bright lights in a dark place. Remember to turn on your headlights when the darkness settles in. The sixth point is brotherly kindness, or the word in Greek is philadelphia, philio, love. to treat others as if they were members of your own family. We bear one another's burdens and feel one another's joy and pain. God wants us to live in a community that is truly harmonious. A great example of this love was in David's relationship with Jonathan, how their hearts were knit together in love through life and through death. How does your heart impulsively reach out to meet the needs of others? I was showered with kindness during my move this summer. I was aware of being alone after my husband's death. I missed him in 1,000 different ways, especially when I needed things fixed around the house. My best friend was no longer with me. Many people helped me in areas where my husband was no longer able to. In particular, I am richly blessed with some men in our church who fulfilled their calling to act in brotherly kindness, offering to help me during my move. Their kindness was really overwhelming. I did not feel alone. God had moved in their hearts to provide what Gary, my husband, could no longer do. I have felt the caress of God in my life through all of the people in this church who offered me comfort, companionship, and sustenance. All of you, thank you so much. Number 7, love is a capstone to this list. And this is a special kind of love. It's agape love. It's giving love without expectation or cost. To love the difficult people in our lives with genuine hearts. We all have someone in our life that qualifies in this area, I'm sure. How can you break human barriers to offer love to the unlovable? For me, it is my daughter-in-law. I have broken down some barriers, made some progress, but the process seems continuous, and I often feel helpless to make a difference. But God sees. We are always getting better with His help. As many of you know, I have gone through a lot of changes recently in my life. I reflect back to the time in 1996 when I was a single mom, struggling through the spectrum of worries and fears. I somehow was able to buy a home in Aliso Viejo during that time. I was also a new Christian and reassessing my life roadmap going forward. The navigation was rough and came with many road ditches. Between 1996 and today, I have come to know God intimately by depending on His navigation for my life. I was a lost child, but God calls me His child. Grace and peace were coming. It was in God's promises for me. But I had no idea what He was about to do. Through the next 26 years, God would help me build a firm foundation for my faith. He would carry me through pain and sorrow and loss and set me down firmly in His word. He gave me a refuge when I faced uncertainty, building me up with His plans and purposes and powerful love that flows out of me today. This reflects the restoration that Jesus accomplished when He went to the cross for us, to pay for our sins by His own blood, bearing our suffering, illnesses, losses, making all things new in our lives. We are a shipwreck without Jesus, empty vessels without a compass. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that gave us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has gone their own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquities of us all. Isaiah 53. Once we accept Jesus in our lives, He begins the sanctification process, the restoration, little by little, and not always at once. Philippians 2:12 tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. This summer, I walked through the door of my newly restored home. What a joy it was for me to see the process of my home transformed into a beautiful piece of artwork. It's not perfect yet, but an ongoing process, because like my own story, it takes humility and faith to give our lives over to Jesus for restoration. There is nothing new under the sun. Our bodies are continuously breaking down, refusing to work. How ironic that as we continue to age and break down, God is building us up spiritually for the purpose of his pleasure. So don't worry, ladies, if you feel old and worn down, God is still building you up inside. Verses 8 and 9, back to the scriptures. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. These verses from Peter warn us not to stop or give in to this continuous sanctification process, or it will make us unproductive and barren. We will become nearsighted and blind. Peter knew that he would soon die and wanted to leave these early Christians with the assurance of God's continued provision and protection, to bravely carry their faith forward as they faced rejection, hardships, and certain death. I challenge each one of you to review these building blocks of faith and assess your strengths and weaknesses. Where are you strong in your beliefs? What areas need restoration? Self-evaluation is a valuable tool to grow in the working out of our salvation. Verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. God has given everything we need to live a godly life. We are to make every effort to move beyond the word faith and to build upon our foundation, to press into God and to learn his promises for us. I recently returned to the gym to take classes to build up my strength. This is a painful, slow process and requires a lot of self-discipline, but necessary to sustain a healthy body. You can do this at any age, and it hurts. Life hurts, though. Jesus said so. We can take pain medication or pain quenchers. My list of pain quenchers includes daily prayer, consistently reading God's word, and fellowship with other godly women. Our faith never ages. It blossoms into wisdom and knowledge and serves to sustain and restore us for the rest of our lives until we cross the finish line of life. Then we will transition into the heavenly realm where we were always meant to find home. Jesus waits with open arms to embrace us with the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I am pleased with your life you have lived." Don't set limits on yourself because you feel old, discouraged, or fearful. God has given us unlimited opportunities to grow with faith. Pray for the opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life today. I personally give you a guarantee that it will happen if you will set your heart right with God. Remember to use your roadmap wisely, because you know you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for giving all of us the opportunity to know you as you pull us towards you, Lord. We cry out, Abba, Father, and you call to us, "Come, my child, let me show you who I am. Let me give you the knowledge of me, so that you can go out into the world and show others what I am really all about. Thank you, Lord. And we all say, Amen.